Well, congregation, if you turn in your Bibles once again to the opening chapter of the book of Ephesians, our focus this morning will be on the words you find in verse 7 and at the beginning of verse 8. And we'll read these verses just now. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, this morning I want to take as our theme, redemption in Jesus Christ. What a glorious and wonderful theme this is. And yet the danger for every one of us can be that because we're so familiar with it, because we hear so much about it, that we can fail to move us and grip us as it truly ought. And sometimes the wonder of redemption and what it entails, it can simply be lost on us. Well, my hope and prayer this morning as we look at this verse is that we would be appropriately moved as we reflect on the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, that he has purchased for his people. And so as we look at this theme of redemption in Jesus Christ, then I want to look in the first place at its requirement, what it required to secure it. Then secondly, I want to look at its results, what it results in for the believer. And then lastly, we will see its reason, what is the reason or basis of this redemption. Well, firstly then, its requirement. Now, you'll notice that in the context, the Apostle Paul, he begins this letter to the Ephesians in the verses we read earlier. And he's blessing God for all of the spiritual blessings which he freely gives to his people in Jesus Christ. And if you look at verses 3 to 6, you'll notice that he blesses God the Father for what he has done in eternity past in choosing a people in Christ for redemption. And then in verses 7 to 12, he goes on to magnify the work of the Son in accomplishing that redemption. And then in verses 13 to 14, he glories in the work of the Holy Spirit in applying redemption. But as I said, I want to focus in on the words of verse 7, beginning of verse 8 this morning, where Paul is beginning to unfold the wonder of redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. And so he says, in him, that is Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And that's what we need to understand in the first place then, that we cannot expect to find or enjoy redemption anywhere else except in the person of Christ and because of the work of Christ. And my friend, if there's one thing that you and I need above everything else in life, it is redemption. Because redemption means that Jesus Christ has paid the price to free us from the penalty and power of sin by his sacrificial death on the cross. The word that is used here for redemption, it means release from captivity or deliverance as a result of the payment of a ransom. And it was a word that was very familiar to people in the first century because it was used in reference to a slave who was purchased with a view to setting them free. And the one who would release that slave, they would give them a certificate stating that they had been redeemed and released from their slavery. And that document was proof to that individual that even though they had formerly been a slave, they were now completely free. And that is what redemption means here. It's speaking about a release from a state of bondage by the payment of a price. It should be obvious then that the word implies a previous condition of slavery or bondage from which a person could not hope to free themselves. And you see, that is exactly how it is for all of us by nature, whether we like to acknowledge it or not. We are in a condition of bondage to sin, and the only way that we can hope to be freed from it is through a payment. That's what the Bible is designed to teach from beginning to end. And you and I may receive redemption free of charge then, as a free gift from God. But we must never forget that it came at an extreme price. For as our text says, we have redemption, yes. But how? Through His blood. And for you or I to be saved then, Jesus Christ had to be willing to give His life as a bloody sacrifice for sin. Because you see, the price of redemption is not that Jesus cut His little finger, spilt a little blood. The reference to blood here and throughout the Bible, it speaks about the giving of life. And Jesus Christ had to be willing then to pour out His life so that we could be set free from our bondage to sin. And that meant then He had to become a substitute for sinners. He had to die in the place of sinners so that they could be redeemed and brought back to God. And my dear friend, if He had not made such a sacrifice, then you and I would still be without any hope whatever of redemption. We would be condemned to death forever because of our bondage to sin. But you see, that's what's so glorious about this redemption. The price to release us from our bondage to sin and all of its consequences, it has now been paid in full. Because Jesus Christ gave His life once and for all at Calvary. But more than that, it has been accepted by God the Father. And all you and I need then to enjoy this spiritual blessing is to now receive it by faith, to believe that God is well pleased with what Jesus Christ has done, that it is more than enough to merit your freedom and mine. And friends, that's how we come to be in Christ. Not by works of righteousness that we try to perform, but through simple faith in what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. And child of God here, you know that. The hour you came to Jesus Christ by faith, you didn't have to bring a payment in your hand. All you brought was the empty hand of faith. For at the end of the day, what else could you bring? But friend, did God turn you away? No. And that's how it will always be. And my dear friend, we only insult God when we think that we have to add something to the work of Christ, as though it wasn't sufficient to satisfy or merit our freedom. And you and I may have been lost to God because of our relationship to Adam. But my friend, redemption means we are reclaimed. We're brought back to God through a simple faith relationship in Jesus Christ and what He has done. The word redemption here, it doesn't simply speak about being released after the payment of a purchase price. It does speak about that. But it also means that a new relationship has been secured forever because of that payment. Remember, we said a slave in the first century, they received a certificate stating that they had been redeemed, released from their slavery. And that document was proof that though they had formerly been a slave, they were now completely free. Well, so it is for you, dear believer here today. God has given you the certificate of your freedom from sin in his very own word. That in Jesus Christ, as our text says, you have redemption through his blood. It's your present possession now. It always will be your possession. And that is God's own word on the matter. Because you see, the blood of Jesus Christ, it is sufficient to secure our eternal freedom from sin and all of its consequences, so that God can now reclaim you as his own forever. Boys and Girls reminds me of a story about a little boy. He built a toy sailboat with his father. And after it was finished, that little boy and his father, they went to a nearby river for the boat's trial run. But the father, he had tied a string to the back of the boat to keep it from sailing too far away. And so the little boy, he went down to the edge of the water. He put it in the water and he watched his little boat begin to sail downstream. But all of a sudden, the string broke and the sailboat, it drifted out of sight. And his father and him, they looked everywhere for that boat, but they couldn't find it anywhere. They thought it was lost forever. But a few weeks later, that little boy was walking home from school, and he passed a store, and he was amazed to see there was his boat sitting in the window. And in his excitement, he ran inside to claim that boat, telling the owner it was his and he had lost it. But the store owner, he said to him, he said, "I tell you what, son, you can have it back for $50. And that poor little lad, he was just stunned at how much it would cost him to regain his boat back. But you see, since it was so precious to him, he quickly set about earning the money to buy it back. And later, when he had enough money, he walked into the store, and beaming with joy and excitement, he handed over $50 in exchange for his sailboat. And it was the happiest day of that little lad's life. And he left the store with his boat. And as he was walking down the street, holding that boat tightly in his arms, do you know what he said to it? He said, "I made you, but I lost you. Now I've bought you back. You belong to me, and I'll never lose you again." And child of God, hear, God made you for himself. And when he lost you and Adam, he loved you so much that he gave his very own son. He sent him into the world to die for you, that he might reclaim you, that he might buy you back again, so that you might now once again belong to him forever. And so he now says to you, "You belong to me, and I'll never lose you again." Well, friends, is that not amazing? Is that not glorious? Does that not thrill your heart this morning? It certainly ought to. Well, that was what your redemption and mine required then. But I want you to see in the second place what it resulted in. For child of God, here your relationship with God has eternally been secure because of this redemption. But that's because this redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ results in something glorious, something amazing. The forgiveness of your sins, every last one of them. All of those sins that are perhaps troubling you as you sit here in the pew. The sins perhaps of a past week, sins of the last year. Sins of an entire lifetime, perhaps. All those sins that the devil just loves to dredge up and parade before your eyes and remind you of, to try to keep you from walking in the freedom you ought to enjoy as a child of God. But God is saying to you, child of God, all of those sins, they've been put away, just as though you'd never even committed them. Is that not truly amazing? That is astounding. Because that's what the word forgiveness here is telling you. That because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin, your slate has been wiped clean forever. And the record of your sin, it has been done away with. And my dear friend, that means then that all liability to punishment for every sin, past, present, or future, it has now been cancelled. The Greek word here for forgiveness, it basically means to send away, never to return. That should take your mind back to the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. That is basically what is being pictured here in this word. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter 16. And you should all know that on that day, the high priest, he would take two spotless goats. And one of those goats would be killed as a sacrifice. Its blood would be sprinkled on the altar and on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. But what happened to the other goat? Well, you should know that the high priest, he took that other goat and he placed his hands on its head, confessed all the sins of the people of Israel over it. And in that act, then, he was symbolically transferring all of their sins, all of the guilt of those sins, onto that goat. But then what happened to the goat? Well, the goat would be taken out. It would be sent out into the wilderness, where it could never find its way back again. Because you see, that goat served as the scapegoat, which bore the blame of the people. And that act of the high priest, it symbolized the taking away of sin, the sending it away where it could never be seen again. And that's what God wants his people to understand about their sins. They have been sent away, never to return, never to be marked against them. Because Jesus Christ is their New Testament scapegoat who died to carry away our sins so that they might never be seen again, ever. And child of God, you and I have nothing whatever to pay the price to cancel the debt of our sin, to take it away. Because every one of us is spiritually bankrupt by nature. And as every one of us knows, we've transgressed the law of God times without number. And that means we've racked up an insurmountable amount of debt as a result. But you see, the good news of the gospel is that out of sheer love and grace, God has taken that debt. He has transferred the guilt of it to Jesus Christ, who paid the price to set us free from it forever, to cancel it out once and for all, so that it might not ever come back to haunt us. Because you see, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Because our debt has now been paid in full. And nothing more needs to be done on our part then but to rest by faith in what Jesus Christ has done. And my dear believing friend here, get a hold of that glorious fact. Live in the joy of it. For you see, because of Christ's death, over the record of every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit, is now written in bold letters the words, paid in full, and thus forgiven and taken away. That's why if you've ever read John Bunyan's classic work, Pilgrim's Progress, then you'll remember that the main character, Christian, what is it he could say when he came to the foot of the cross, carrying that great burden that was on his back and had been ever since he left the city of destruction, and it finally rolled away when he came to the cross? What is it he could say? He saw it no more, because it was gone forever. And no one would ever be able to charge those sins to his account then. And you see, that's the beautiful truth that lies at the very heart of the Bible's teaching about forgiveness. That God himself has dealt with the sins of his people once and for all at Calvary. For as the Bible says, even though we were without strength in ourselves, utterly unable to even lift a finger to do anything to clear the debt of our sin because of our spiritual poverty, yet God in his grace and in his mercy, he sent his own Son in due time to die for the ungodly so that he might forgive and cancel all the debt of our sin. That's why the psalmist can say in those beautiful words in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's why God, speaking through Isaiah, says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Because you see, he's now cast them all behind his back. He has hurled them into the depths of the sea of his forgetfulness because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Reminds me of the story of a Scottish doctor. The books of that doctor, which kept a record of all of his patients, all of their bills, when they were examined after his death, it was found that a number of accounts were crossed through with a note which said, forgiven, too poor to pay. But the deceased doctor's wife, when she looked over those accounts, she decided that they must be paid in full. And so she proceeded to sue each of these patients for their money, which she thought was still owed to her. But when the case came to court, the judge had simply one question for her. He simply pointed to those words, forgiven, too poor to pay. And he said to her, he asked her, Madam, is that your husband's handwriting? And when she replied and she said it was, he responded and he said, well, he said, Madam, there is no court in the land that can obtain a debt once that the word forgiven has been written over it. And that, my friend, is the good news that this verse is reminding us of this morning. That God's attitude to our sins, it's not, well, I'll forgive them, but I won't forget them. No, it's that they are forgiven and put away forever in and through Jesus Christ. For my dear friend, once the debt of our sin has been cancelled in Jesus Christ, There is no one who can collect on it. No one. Because God wipes it out of his mind forever for the sake of Jesus Christ. And therefore, child of God, God will never bring those sins up again to condemn you. Never. And that brings us then in the third place to think about the reason or basis for this redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Why is it that God does redeem his people from their sins? Why does he forgive them for all of their sins against him? Well, it's all according to the riches of his grace, as our text says, which he made to abound toward us. We don't deserve to have the debt of our sins taken away. Quite the opposite. We deserve to be punished for our sins. But you see, because of the riches of his grace, God chose rather to punish those sins in the person of Jesus Christ. He chose to make him our substitute so that through his death in our place, the debt of our sin could be finally and forever canceled. Because that's the meaning of the word grace. As you may have heard it said before, grace, G-R-A-C-E, is God's riches at Christ's expense. And God lavishes his grace or his unmerited favor then upon his children because of what Jesus Christ has done, not because of what we deserve. And that's why the child of God marvels at the grace of God, because they know themselves. They know their own hearts. They know all they've done, that they've done to merit God's displeasure. And yet all the experience from him is wave upon wave of his grace. And that's what this verse is saying then. He makes the riches of his grace abound toward us, or he lavishes his grace upon us. Now, what does it mean to lavish something upon someone? It means you just heap it on more and more and more. And my friend, God doesn't ration out his grace to his people then. A little bit here and a little bit there. Because he's not Mr. Scrooge. He lavishes his grace upon his children. Why? Because he delights to show it to them for Christ's sake. Think of it like the waves of the ocean. They just keep on coming, one after another after another. They never stop. And that's what God's forgiveness is like for those who have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. It never ceases. For as John reminds us in the first chapter of his first epistle, the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses us from all sin, or it goes on cleansing us from all sin. Because, my dear friend, forgiveness is not from the riches of his grace, but according to the riches of his grace. And maybe you say, well, what's the difference? Well, think of it like this. If you were to go to a multimillionaire, you were to ask for a contribution to a worthy cause, charity of your choice, and he were to give you $100, well, then he's given you out of his riches. But if he were to hand you a blank check and he were to say to you, fill in what you need, then he has given according to his riches. And my dear friend, the measure of God's forgiveness then, it is in proportion to his wealth. And I ask you, how wealthy is God? A friend, his wealth is infinite. And that's how he gives. And what he wants you and I to know here then is that our redemption, our forgiveness, they are based on nothing whatever in you or in me, but solely on the boundless, bottomless, shoreless, infinite resources of his own grace in Jesus Christ. And that is what this text is drawing our attention to. And don't allow yourself then to be tormented with thoughts like, surely God won't forgive my sin, or he couldn't possibly forgive that sin that I've committed. Friends, that's a lie of the devil. For God is telling you, if you will but bring that sin to him, I don't care what it is, and you will confess it to him through Jesus Christ, then he tells you, even though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool, because of the riches of his grace. And child of God, here you need never worry that your sins will ever outstrip God's gracious forgiveness then. For as Paul reminds us elsewhere, wherever sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Well, friends, that is the glorious doctrine of redemption in and through Jesus Christ. And that redemption is freely available to every sinner who will but renounce every other hope and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. And that includes every one of us here this morning. For you see, it is in him alone we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which God made to abound toward us. Amen.